Hello everyone, I'm Sam, I live in Durham, I work with the Christian Union in the university, so helping the students share the gospel with their friends. I've been in Durham for 4 years. I came to study here in 2015 from a town called Hexham, which is not too far from here. So I grew up in Hexham Community Church, and it's a real pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me. We're going to be thinking this morning about Jesus, the amazing teacher. I understand you've been doing a series on the amazing Jesus, looking at instances in the Gospels where people are amazed at what Jesus is like. So today we're going to be thinking about Jesus, the amazing teacher, and what he teaches. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn to Mark chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verses 14 down to 28. It says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. 'The time has come,' he said, 'the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news.' As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will make you fishers of men.' At once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue, who was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' Jesus said sternly. 'Come out of him.' The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him.' News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee." Now, I wonder what you think about when you think about Jesus' teaching. Maybe you don't know a lot about it at all, and that's fine. You're really welcome here. I hope this is useful to help you understand a bit more about what he taught. Maybe you're really familiar with it. I wonder how you would summarise it in a few sentences. Maybe it would be the golden rule: do to others as you would have them do to you. Or maybe it would be the two greatest commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Or maybe it would be something else, something from the Sermon on the Mount, maybe, Jesus' most famous teaching passage. But actually, Mark summarises it for us, and he does it in a different way. If you look down at verse 14 and 15, he summarises Jesus' teaching like this: "Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. 'The time has come,' he said, 'the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news.'" What is Jesus' teaching all about? Well, primarily, it's about the kingdom of God. A kingdom is arriving, Jesus says, and he is the one who will establish this kingdom. You see, Jesus' teaching isn't simply new ways of doing things. It isn't simply a new way of understanding or a new set of moral standards that we live by. It's not simply those things. Because if it was, then following Jesus would be a bit like following a first century self-help book. Self-help books are really popular, aren't they? They're often in the bestseller lists. I wonder if any of you have come across Mary Kondo. She's become very popular recently.
Oh, yes, we've
emptied out a lot. Yeah, great. Her book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, has been published in 30 countries. And she even has a Netflix show about tidying up. It's crazy. Self-help books are so popular, I think, because we're often so frustrated with ourselves. We know that we're not the people we would like to be. We want better habits and greater productivity, greater satisfaction and happiness in life. And each self-help book promises to have the answer. It promises that if we apply their mindset or their new methods, then we'll be fixed. But they never really work, do they? They might be good for a few weeks, but soon we slip back into the old habits, We struggle with the same stuff, and we come across problems in life that are bigger than a new mindset or a new method of doing things can hope to solve. We have the same feeling that ourself and our world is not all as it should be, and the same feeling that ultimately we're incapable of changing that by ourselves. And so how often do we treat Jesus just like another self-help guru? We might look to his teaching for comfort or nice principles to aspire to, but it doesn't actually change our hearts and our lives. Our lives don't look any different from the unbeliever who is trying to live a good life and care for others. And so we end up struggling along with the same old problems, the same sin, the same anxiety, and the same lack of joy. But Jesus' teaching is amazing because it isn't another self-help system. It's not a new method of doing things or a new mindset to adopt. And if we treat it like that, we miss the point. Our problems go much deeper than that. We don't need a self-help system, but a saviour. And Jesus' teaching is so amazing because primarily it's news. News that he is that saviour. It's news about the kingdom of God. Jesus taught that he had come to establish God's rule and reign in our lives. The big story of the Bible is that God has created us especially for a relationship with himself. But we have all rejected his love and his rule and his reign over us. And so instead we set ourselves in his place with horrible consequences. That's what the Bible calls sin. The result is the broken world and the broken selves that we find, filled with evil and hurt and injustice. And the consequence we rightly deserve for this rejection of the God who gives us life is death. But Jesus says that he is the Messiah, that means God's King, come to restore and establish God's kingdom. He doesn't do this with a great display of military might or violence that we might expect. And instead, he submits himself to those things in order to overcome them. He submits himself to a Roman cross. Jesus dies in our place, taking the punishment that we deserved. And he rises to life again, fully defeating the power of death, fully paying the price that we owed. And so he is enthroned in his death and resurrection as God's King. That is how he establishes his kingdom. And he invites us all to recognise him as the King and enter it. See, Jesus' teaching about the kingdom amazes people, but amazement alone isn't the response that he wants. Rather, our response should be to recognise him as the King. And flick forward a few chapters in Mark to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verses 1 to 6 say this: Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that's been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offence at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house, is a prophet without honour. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Jesus is here teaching in his hometown of Nazareth, and his teaching amazes the people. And yet they still reject him. It says they took offence at him. Here is Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God, acting and talking like he is their king. And they think, how can he claim to be this king? This is Jesus. Isn't he the carpenter from down the road? I'm here with his sister. Who does he think he is? You see, Jesus' teaching is all about himself. And so his teaching about the kingdom and his identity can't be separated. And he wants us to acknowledge his identity, acknowledge him as king. Back in chapter 1, did you notice that the people are amazed because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law? You see, in the Jewish rabbinic style of teaching, the rabbis would often quote other rabbis or different schools of interpretation. But here Jesus only claims his own authority. He speaks directly. And not only that, even evil spirits obey him. Jesus' teaching is accompanied by power to overturn the effects of sin and darkness in the world. And so what is the response that Jesus is teaching about himself and the kingdom demands of us? Well, we see it in verse 15, chapter 1. He says, "The kingdom of God is near, so repent and believe the good news." The way to start following Jesus is to turn around. That's what repent means, to turn around. Jesus teaches us to make a radical change of direction. To turn from our rejection of God, our rejection of his rule and his love, and to turn back to him in order to be reconciled to him. We're to turn around, repent, and we're to believe. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Messiah, God's King, and the Son of God. And not just intellectually believe those things to be true, but to personally and actively place all of our hope and our trust in him. If you're here this morning and you haven't done that, if you don't know Jesus personally as your Lord and your Saviour and your friend, as the King, then can I encourage you to do that? To respond to this good news that Mark tells us about. Jesus says the time has come, there's no reason to delay when life in the kingdom is on offer. But what about for those of us who have been following Jesus for a long time, who are familiar with his teaching? Well, what does his amazing teaching have to say to us? I think there are two mistakes that we often fall into, or at least there's two that I often do. One is to slip back into that self-help mindset. We think that the gospel of grace got us over the threshold of the kingdom, but now it's up to us to polish our dirty edges and to scrub up and to earn our place so that we really belong here. But that's not how it works. Jesus' teaching is that we enter and we continue to live in the power and the presence of the kingdom only by his grace, only by what he did for us on the cross and what he now does in our hearts by his Spirit. We receive and we participate in the kingdom only and only ever by grace. That's the first mistake I think we often make. The second is that we become so familiar with Jesus' teaching that we often forget that the kingdom, what his teaching is all about, is so wildly different to the world that we live in. Jesus' kingdom is an upside-down one. It doesn't fit with or resemble the kingdoms of the world that we're often so comfortable in. It goes distinctly against the grain. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, and you don't need to turn to it, I'll read it out. He says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. To the world, God's kingdom looks weak and foolish, but it is the wisdom and the power of God, and those things are greater than the world's wisdom and power." We would expect Jesus to establish his kingdom with a great assertion of power, but instead he says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The way of the kingdom Jesus teaches is cross-shaped. He says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple, my follower, must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it." And he says that the greatest people in the kingdom of God are the ones who make themselves the last, who become the servants of all. God's kingdom looks foolish to the world often, but it is the amazing wisdom of God revealed to us through Jesus. And so Jesus calls us to respond to this cross-shaped kingdom with our whole heart. He desires our full allegiance to him as the King. And our response should really change the way that we live. We are to be shaped and sent by the Spirit as he works in our hearts and as we see and experience the love of Jesus and what he has done for us. The love displayed at the cross, the love of the glorious, upside-down and costly kingdom, that is what is to shape our lives. But But often we don't give him our full and complete allegiance. It's a bit like he's described a beautiful new country to us, where he's built a house for us, and he's invited us to come and live there. He's given us a visa with no limitations and no requirements. But instead of actually going there, we just decide to admire it from a distance. We flick through the holiday brochure for it, and we think, oh, that looks like a really nice place. I'll go there one day, but not yet. It's too far, or I won't be able to take everything that I want with me. Or maybe we do go and visit that place sometimes, but then the exchange rate gets too high, or the language barrier is too difficult, or the people do things differently there, and so it's too much effort, and we think, no, I'm going to come back to where I was, and maybe I'll go there another time. We put it off. But Jesus' teaching isn't intended to be a holiday brochure for the kingdom. It's an invitation to come and live there. It's news that the kingdom has arrived, and so our lives should be transformed to reflect that reality. Transformed not so that we can make ourselves good enough, but transformed as we respond to his grace in loving gratitude. And Jesus teaches at one point that the kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in a field. And when a man finds that treasure, in his joy he goes and sells everything that he has so that he can buy the field and get the treasure. Our response to Jesus should be a complete reordering of our loves, to place King Jesus first in our heart. And sometimes that will require letting go of very important things. But as we are united to Jesus, we receive more than we could ever give up. The man in that story goes and sells all of his possessions with joy, because he knows that the treasure is there and he will get it. Jesus' teaching is news. He has defeated sin and death on the cross, and the kingdom has been inaugurated. It's begun. It is being established, and it will one day come completely with Jesus. God's wisdom has been revealed to us in the love and the grace and the service of Jesus. And so our response to this amazing teaching, and Jesus, our amazing teacher, should be to let the good news of the kingdom change every area of our lives. Why don't I pray for us? Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the amazing teacher. Thank you that his teaching is not a self-help guide, but it is news. Yes. That you have come into our world. You have established your kingdom, and you do invite us to join it, not because we are good enough, but because you are loving, and you want us to have a relationship with you. Lord, would you help us as your followers to let that news transform our lives as your Spirit works in us. Father, as we sung earlier, would you open our eyes to see the wonder of who you are? Would you fill us with your heart, and would that change us and send us out with your love to those around us? Father, where it is costly to live in response to your kingdom, where it requires us to live differently to the world around us, to give up things, to become last and the servants of all, Lord, would you help us to see the treasure that we have in you? Yes. Help us to see that as we are united with Jesus, we are brought into full and complete and joyful relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And that you are coming back. Your kingdom will be established one day. That sin and death no longer have the last word. Yes. But you have overcome them. And so we can live confidently in the kingdom now, knowing that we will one day be with you. Yes. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for the ministry that you have given them. Thank you for the way that they are reaching out to the people around them. Or would you help them to do that by your Spirit as they receive so much love and mercy from you? Father, would you fill them up? Would you change them by that? And would you send them out and work through them to bring more and more people into the glorious riches of your kingdom? Amen.